Phil Henry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. The number one rated Phil Henry Show. The summer ratings are in. Once again, number one, 2554. And not only that, but we're pulling all these huge men numbers. Huge, you know. I mean, we're like doubled, tripled, quadrupled all the men listeners that we've had, and which proves that, A, we've got a very loyal male audience, and B, no real woman listens to this show. No real woman listens to this show. I told my wife, who says to me, oh, I know a lot of women who love to listen. Yeah, sure. Sure you do, honey. Thank you very much. I love you, too. Huh? Yeah. Honey, can you spell lesbian? Can you say lesbian? Because that's what we have here. Those are the only women that listen to us. Lesbians. Anyway, thank you very much for making us yet again number one. It's just, it's getting boring. But we'll keep on keeping on because we have the world-famous Phil Henry Show, the most original radio show probably in the history of the medium. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to come see us actually do the show. In fact, if we get any women to actually come and watch us do the show, man, it'll be like seeing the Loch Ness Monster or Bigfoot. Supposedly, you know, they're out there, but no one's ever really seen one. That would be nice to see a few women show up to our broadcast. So if you listen today for the special password that will enable you to win tickets to see my show live at the Museum of Television and Radio on Thursday, November the 2nd, then you'll be ahead of the game. Now, during today's show, I'm going to announce today's password. We had a password yesterday. Whole new password today. And a special fax number, faxing your name, your home telephone number, and today's password. Winners will be randomly selected daily. Keep listening today and all week for your chance to see my show live. We'll be doing that password during the show today, so keep listening. Now, the MTA strike, a tentative agreement apparently has been reached to end the month-long strike here in Los Angeles by bus and rail drivers, and has been reached and will face a vote by employees tonight. According to the Reverend Jesse Jackson, who is involved in this negotiation here in Los Angeles, trying to get the MTA rolling again. Professor Robert Leonard is on the line with us from, he's a professor of political science at Tatum University in Stockton, California, and he joins us on our Newsmaker line. You know, to talk about the far-reaching effects the MTA strike has had, everybody who rides a bus, anybody who rides a train, anybody who uses rapid transit, no matter what city you live in, is so acutely sensitive to labor problems when it comes to any rail system, municipally run or otherwise. How did we dig ourselves out from underneath this wreckage and this costly work stoppage, Professor?
I think the number one thing that we can... first of all, I think we have to be grateful... for the intercession of Reverend Jesse Jackson. I'm sure you understand Reverend Jackson's political mediation and his people-to-people skills are in demand all across the country. And
That was fortunate for him to join us.
Well, you have to understand, we are very, very fortunate to have had Reverend Jackson with us and help mediate this strike because he is a very special person. And Reverend Jackson is someone who has skills far and away far and away more advanced and more pronounced, you know, than any of these other people who are sitting at the bargaining table. And there was no way that we were going to have this strike come to a immediate end unless we had someone the caliber of Reverend Jackson.
And well, sure, there must be people like him out there.
You know something, Phil? There really are not people too much like Reverend Jackson. Reverend Jackson, I think, it can be introduced in a very tense situation. I think, first of all, as a black man, and not that this is a... There is no color to the MTA strike, you understand. There is no color to a labor strike. But being a black man involved in negotiations where there is a high level of involvement of Latin American people, that is, both Latin American people who are riding the bus and riding the rail, and also Mexican-American or Latin-American or Hispanic-Americans who work on the rail line. And to introduce, you know, into the negotiation process an African-American, I think, is very beneficial.
Why would that be beneficial in terms of...
Well, Phil, there's a long history, and relationship between black people and Hispanic people. Black people have always been able to, I think, in the middle of any debate, be sensible. I think African-American people are able to do that coming from a long history of labor problems they've had. They've always been sensible people.
And black people as negotiators or black people as strikers? Or
I think more importantly, as a people of cooler head, when you talk about cooler heads prevailing, you're generally talking about a black head that is prevailing. You're talking about an African-American head that is prevailing. We talk about cooler heads prevailing. And black people have always been able to calm Mexicans down. You know, I like to use the joke about how Sugar Ray Leonard calmed down Roberto Duran, you know, but I don't mean that.
Well, he knocked him out.
Yeah, I'm using that as a joke. What I mean is that the black man is able to calm down the hot-headed and the temperamental and hot-blooded Mexican when they're in the middle of it.
Well, okay, you're getting into some areas here that are, it's a little foreign to me. You're saying that the African-American is able to calm down the hot-blooded and temperamental Mexican. Who's the Mexican? You're saying the Mexican-American riders and workers?
That's what I'm saying. The riders and workers on the MTA, that's number one. And I'm saying primarily the greatest negotiator I think that this country has had in a great many years, and that's Jesse Jackson. Now, we know what Reverend Jackson was able to do in the Balkans, and we know...
You're referring to his negotiating to get those pilots released.
That is correct, yes, sir. And we know that he has been instrumental in freeing a downed pilot in the Middle East, and we know he was instrumental in getting the transit strike in St. Louis, cooled out. So that's why when everything was lost and when it looked like we could not find our way out of this terrible morass and this terrible, terrible situation that Reverend Jackson inserted himself in this, and I remember saying, thank you, God. You know, I'm not a religious man, but I was saying thank you that Reverend Jackson is involved.
Well, it sounds to me, Professor, that what you're saying here is that this thing never would have gotten chilled out were it not for...
Well, Jesse Jackson bailed us out again. You know, he was going over, he bailed out the white boys in Bosnia. He come down and bail out the Mexicans here in L.A. because he has a rainbow coalition. And that means that Jesse Jackson and Reverend Jackson, the rainbow coalition, will bail out a white man one day, we'll bail out a Mexican another day. We'll bail out a black man one day, we're going to bail out a brown man another day. You can bail out a red man one day, you're going to bail out...
Okay, I got all of that, but I'm...
But you know what I'm saying, all right?
So yeah, I got all of that, but what I'm so essentially,
You bail out a yellow man one day, you're going to bail out a red man...
I got all of that, okay? The red man, the yellow... Because of the rainbow coalition.
Because of the rainbow coalition. And that I think, what Reverend Jackson's able to do.
And, all right, so your bottom line on this strike wouldn't have been solved were it not for Reverend Jackson.
There's no way.
No way.
There's no way. There's no way. He is a man who can introduce a sensibility and a sensitivity to a situation. You said Mayor Reardon was doing the best he could. He was messing that things up 6 ways to sunset. I say with all them other people.
All right, let me give our phone number here on the Phil Hendry Show. We talk with Professor Robert Leonard, political science professor at Tatum University, about the MTA strike and how Jesse Jackson, were he not involved, this strike would still be going on, correct?
There's no doubt in my mind.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Let me just investigate one other area here that you had brought up. The primary riders of the MTA line in Los Angeles are Mexican-American...
A lot of Latin-American, yeah.
And you said that there's nothing like a black person to cool out Mexicans.
What I'm saying is that we come from similar history, and we come from a similar background in this country. And so I think when the hot-blooded Latin American, you know, starts getting his dander up and starts jumping up and down or whatever, his problem is, you know, about wanting to strike, you put a white man in there, he's going to jump up and down and be all hot-blooded. But get a black man in there, you're going to sit down, I'm going to chill this brother out and find out what the brother wants. And he is more likely to be open, to the ideas of the African-American man.
Now, Mayor Reardon got elected in this city, and this is, I think, would be enlightening for a lot of people listening across the country. Mayor Reardon got elected in this city because he had a broad base of support among many different voters, white, black.
Yeah, that's right. But Mayor Reardon is a good man. I'm not saying he's a bad man. I'm saying you got to bring the brother in, though. You know, because push come to shove on this deal, that's all right. You get his face on a billboard and say, Mayor Reardon, a good man, got the Staples Center built, love the pantry restaurant, I go in there for scrambled eggs myself. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying when push come to shove, you got to bring the brother in. And when push come to shove on the MTA strike, you got to call for the brother. You remember in Batman, where they need Batman, they put that bat signal.
Okay, so in other words, like in
Batman, Commissioner Gordon put up the bat signal. It's the same thing, got to put the bat signal up. Only this time out, we put up the brother signal, got Reverend Jackson, who has a long history of this.
All right. Professor Leonard, there's no doubt when you say Reverend Jackson has a long history of negotiating some pretty tight situations. He did get those flyers back from Bosnia. He was involved in some other things across this country constantly. I don't know whether I can agree with you that this MTA strike would not have been solved were it not for him coming in on this, and I don't know whether Jesse Jackson is Batman necessarily.
But there's so many things that he does are similar to Batman that I would say L.A., the whole city of Los Angeles, I'd say this to you. If it wasn't for the brother, if it wasn't for Jesse Jackson, you'd still have a strike going on. Now
I don't think you can say that.
You can say what you want, but I'll tell you right now, if it wasn't for Jesse Jackson, you'd still have a strike going on. And he had to come in and bail out somebody else. Jesse Jackson bailing people out because the people can't get it together and do the things that they need to do.
All right, well, we'll find out. We're going to take a break here. 1-800-449-8686. Man, Jesse Jack, wasn't for him, man, we'd still be walking here in L.A. 1-800-449-8686, Professor Robert Leonard. So we sent for Jesse Jackson like Commissioner Gordon sends for Batman to try to bail this thing out, and according to him, it takes a black man to cool out a hot-blooded Mexican-American, especially when it comes to the strike. Now, he used as an example of that Sugar Ray Leonard calming down Roberto Duran. If those of you who are not fight fans, Sugar Ray Leonard knocked Roberto Duran on his rear end. Although, I'm not even sure he did that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Yeah. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. You there, Professor Leonard?
Yes, Phil.
All right. Let me just say this. Professor Leonard is with us to talk about the ending of the MTA strike. You've made some provocative comments here. You've said that Jesse Jackson came to Los Angeles and helped end this strike because a black guy can cool out Mexicans.
I never use the word cool out. I said that he can deal with.
I'm sorry. I put that in there.
Yeah, but that is your reading. Because I'm African American, you think that I'm going to use a phrase like cool out. I never said that he cooled out. I never used the term cool out.
I apologize, sir.
What I did say was that a black man, black people can deal with Latin American, Hispanic American, Mexican American people a lot better than white people can because we have a common history in this country, you know.
All right. Well, can I say one thing?
Yeah. But please don't attribute to me cool out as if that is the street language that I would use.
And I apologize for that. Well, the thing that I was going to say was, when we talk about these things, the one thing that I'll just on a personal note, I just took a call off the air from a woman from England or Britain or wherever the heck she's from, and the first thing she wanted to start in on were her rights as a white person.
Well, you know,
hold on for a minute because I'm not done here, Professor. Look, do me a favor, will you? Go back to England. You know, it's hard enough dealing with Americans on this stick. When I get some limey down the line talking to me about, oh, you don't like the word limey, huh? Oh, Taylor's all upset about limey, just because your people are limeys. I got some limey on the other end telling me about her rights as a white person. Go and stink England up with that.
Well, I'll do you one better, Phil.
Hold on for a minute, and then I'll let you say. Just go stink England up with all that stuff, and don't bother me with your comments and your calls and your listenership or anything else, okay? Bug off. Now, you were going to say, Professor?
I was going to say, on an issue like this, I don't know that Caucasians can weigh in.
On the issue of the MTA strike.
Right, because you've got black people and Mexican people working and riding, right? And I would rather stick to people of color talking about an issue like...
You don't want any white callers.
I'll talk to anybody you put on, but I'm going to say you just had a problem with a white woman there talking about white rights.
When I hear white people talking about their white rights, it grates on my nerves to begin with. But when I got some limey telling me about it, somebody from England over here visiting Disney World or playing golf or whatever it is they're doing, it really tightens my jaws, okay? So I was just saying, if at all possible, you know, park your rear end back over there in Manchester or Liverpool or wherever you're from and go bum somebody out over there with your swill. Don't bug me with it. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The only people you want to talk to are black people. You want to talk to Mexican people, too.
Never mind.
You want to talk to a Mexican from England? You
know, I don't want to talk to a Mexican from England. I don't want to talk to any white people from England. How many Mexicans do they have in England?
They have. I'll tell you right now, they got to pick crops. They got to pick celery like everybody else.
Oh, they're picking celery over there with them. Well, that's great. I thought the Irish were doing that. Anyway, here is Newbury Park on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yeah, I just want to know if the black people are so cool-headed and level-headed, how come the head of the driver's union, a black man, Mr. Williams, how come he couldn't bring it to an end?
Well, he's not the head of the driver's union.
You got your information wrong.
No, you got your information wrong.
I don't think so. My husband works for MTA.
Well, is your husband white?
Yes, he is.
Well, then why didn't he bring it into it? See what I'm saying? You got a husband who's a white man, and his boss is a black man.
Oh, no. His boss is not a black man. His boss is not a black man.
His boss is a white woman.
He is a mechanic. The head of the driver's union is a black man, Mr. Williams.
If you're his wife, you're the boss of the house, right? So your husband's boss is a white woman. See, that's all I'm trying to say.
All right, that's a funny joke, but the lady's
black man. So if you could introduce me one,
you're out there in Newbury Park, but they're moving in pretty close to you now, lady. Okay. In fact, a couple of my friends moving in next door. Get out of here. What is up with that call? The minute that bitch opened her mouth, I knew she was no good. When they start in with "I got some information that you don't have," you don't want the call. And excuse me for using the B word, but out here in California, there's two holes that I try to avoid as much as I can. One of them is Simi Valley, and the other one's Newbury Park. Chester, Pennsylvania, on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
You're on fire today, Phil.
I didn't want to talk to that hag.
Yes, you did not use the word cool out, but your guest, who's a professor from I don't know where, used the word a black man can chill out. So you used the word cool.
I did not use that term.
Okay?
And this is the problem of talking to a lot of white people.
All right, hold on. I'm not going to have people talking over each other, okay? Mike, you got to get a little control on these phone calls, okay? I'm not going to have people talking over top of each other, all right? Number one, I don't want any more crackers today. No more snowflake callers. If we got any black people or Mexican people want to check in, that's great. But the whites are... There's nothing more boring than a white person weighing in on black people's rights. That's number one, okay? And the minute that that woman from Newbury Park opened her pie hole, I knew she was a dyed-in-the-wool racist. A, she's from Newbury Park. B, she was talking about her husband, the boss of the union, being a black guy, okay? Did you get all of that out of her when you screened the call? Okay, you knew where she was coming from. And then finally, when I get white boy here from Chester, Pennsylvania, who's going to talk over everybody else, I don't need that either. Now, I'll find out if he's still hanging on. You still there?
I'm here.
Okay, nobody is going to be giving any speeches. We're going to have a dialogue, so when you want to make point one, point two, point three, and everything else, just listen for anybody who wants to respond. Now, go ahead.
Where would you like me to pick up?
Just start up with what you were saying, but people may interject thoughts.
Fine.
Are you there, Professor?
I'll tell you at this point, I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
No, you don't have to keep your mouth shut. I'm just trying to set down some ground rules here. Go ahead.
First of all, is the first point
I get to talk?
No, I want the other guy to talk. Then you can talk. This gentleman in Chester, Pennsylvania, go ahead and talk.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
When am I going to get to talk?
You used the word, told him to cool out.
Could you hold on for a minute? What do you want, Professor?
When do I talk?
When this guy's done, then you talk. Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay. You said cool out, and he took umbrage to that.
Uh-huh.
The fact that you replay the tape at some point, you will say what he actually said was, a black man can chill out a Mexican. So you used it's exactly the same thing. So he got his dander up, and there was no reason.
Did I say chill out or cool out?
You said chill out.
Well, that's not the same. That's not the same as cool
out.
That's not the same as cool out, is it? That's a whole different thing. So I think there's a perfect example of how much more level-headed a black man, me, is over a white man, you. Because you don't have control over this debate. You've been sitting there raving on...
What do you mean I got no control over the... Hold on for a minute, sir. What do you mean...
You got no control over the debate where the people are saying you're going to even miss your break. This is the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back. See?
Well, wait a minute. 1-800-449-8686. I live out in Ventura County. I live close to Ventura County. And for those of you, you know, who remember the Rodney King affair and the ensuing riots, you recall that the jury sat in Simi Valley. Simi hasn't lived it down. I don't think they've ever recovered. Their reputation hasn't recovered. Because if you go out there, it's pretty white and it's pretty dumb. Now, how can I say this? I was born and raised in this town. I'll say what I feel like saying about it, okay? And I know that there's some pockets of real dumb in L.A. Another pocket of dumb is that Newberry Park out there. And we got a couple of rules here. Generally, we don't take calls from Newberry Park. Isn't that right? We take them from T.O., and we take them from Westlake Village. We take them from Agoura, and we'll take them from Calabasas. But if I ever see Newberry Park on that screen... Now, granted, that cracker could call in and say she's, in point of fact, be from Newberry Park, but I recognize the distinctive Newberry Park twang. All right, Professor Leonard?
I'll tell you, I've been to Newberry Park. I didn't know they had a twang out there.
All right, let's get back to this. Jesse Jackson saved L.A. He interceded in the MTA strike. You're the guy that brought up all this stuff about how a black man can, you know, ameliorate or calm down a Mexican.
Well, you recall, Phil, if you looked at the television shows in the 1970s, that whole Superfly thing. You know, a lot of Mexican-American relate to African-American on a Superfly level.
And what has that got to do with it?
What I'm saying is a Superfly gliding down the street to a Mexican-American, that's where it's at.
So Mexicans see black people as if they're Superfly gliding down a street?
I'm using that as an example. I'm saying that you know, big banana yellow flare pants and a big wide Panama hat, all right, a big double-breasted rhinestone suit. That looked pretty cool, old man, who just swam across the Rio Grande.
So, all right, so a guy who just came across the Rio... I'm trying to follow you here.
I understand that.
A guy who just came across the Rio Grande looks at Superfly, and he thinks that cat is styling like Carnegie.
He thinks like John Rockefeller, that's right.
Okay, I mean...
kind of got your tongue tied, doesn't it?
Yeah, I what am I supposed to do with that information? Okay, fine. So that's why the MTA... So Jesse Jackson should have shown up dressed like that cat from Superfly, is that it?
You didn't have to. You just come in a suit and tie, you look a heck of a lot better than any MTA worker. You don't know what to say, do you?
No, I don't know what to say. What am I supposed to say to that? Let me take a phone call. Here is Clearwater on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? Clearwater, hello? This is Clearwater, Florida. Hello?
Oh, yeah, Clearwater's here.
Could you turn your radio down, dear?
I'm doing what?
Could you turn your radio down?
Yes, I'm sorry, I turned it down.
Great, thank you. Go right ahead.
What is this Superfly? Is that how you see the black people as Superfly?
No, I don't see black people as Superfly. I see the Mexican-American people see us as we style and like Superfly.
Mexican-Americans see us as people as a Superfly.
That's right.
So I am a Superfly because I'm a black American.
No, I don't know what you are. I'm saying that they look upon us as people who style.
My main point for calling is, why is it a race issue? What is
are
the
you
bottom
black?
Line
are you,
of
are
what
you
we're
white?
Talking about?
Are you white?
I am a black woman.
You sound white.
I am married to a white man.
You sound like a white woman trying to sound black.
Well, honey, call it whatever you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, see you later, Whitey. You know what, Reverend?
Yeah?
Get out of here.
Wait a second.
Get out of here. All of this crap. 1-800-449-8686. Black people look like Superfly. It's the Phil Hendry Show. All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. I am your host, and I want to announce today's password for the Phil Hendry Show. You know who this is. This is Comb Over Boy. This is not a right-wing wacko. No, This is Comb Over Boy. And today's password is Blue Armband. Blue Armband. And if you fax in your name and your home telephone number, add today's password, Blue Armband, and you have to fax it into 213-487-0058. 213-487-0058. That number again, 213-487-0058. You could be randomly selected from today's entry. And I'm not going to guarantee it. But I'll tell you right now, you could be selected. And if you're selected, well, then you'll go and see The Phil Henry Show broadcasting live from the Museum of Television and Radio. And that's why I just called in myself. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to call in right now. Hello, I don't have a fax machine, but is this Phil Henry Show? I don't have a fax machine, but today's password's Blue Armband. Can I get in to watch his show? Well, because I'm so thin on new material that I thought I'd go and watch the Phil Henry Show, and then I'd start ripping off his material, as I've done to so many others in the country in the broadcast business. My name is Comb Over Boy, and my number's 213-251-3189. That's 213-251-3189, and the password is Blue Armband. Am I in the running? Oh, goody. Well, there you go. I'm in the running. Now, what a deal with this whole idea about stealing other people's material. I know Henry's been over there all the time. He's been saying that I steal people's material. And another thing he says he is number one. He's not number one. I'm number one. But anyway, now I start off my show every day by saying this is not a talk show that is hosted by a right-wing racco or a goose-stepping conservative or a convicted felon. And then I go, no! I am your host. See, I wrote that. When I say I am your host, I wrote that. That's my material. Don't steal it. As I know, Henry is going to steal that. Because I heard him one day say, I'm the host of the Phil Henry Show. He stole that from me. As I start off every show, I say, I am your host. That's my material. Oh, he's stealing my material, huh, Henry? Now, a lot of people said, you know, Comb Over Boy, that is so original. When you say this is a show not hosted by a right-wing wacko or a convicted felon, no! Because I like to add that little part there, no, you know, the way I say that. And then I say, I am your host. They say, that is so original. Where did you get that? I said, well, you know, one day I was walking by a house, and there was a sign hanging on the door. It said, do not disturb. I thought, whoa. And then I heard a guy one day say, hi, how are you? I thought, well, those are very original phrases. And then finally one day, a guy walked up to me and said, excuse me, have you got the time? So I put those all up on a wall. Do not disturb. Hi, how are you? Excuse me if you got the time. And then I thought, I am your host. Those four phrases, I think, are very unique. Although the one I did write myself. Now, I'll prove that I'm number one of this show by spending the first 2 hours of my show reading you the ratings numbers. Now, you won't understand what I mean, but I feel so threatened by Phil Henry, I'll throw my whole show away today talking to you about the ratings. You won't know what it is I'm talking about, but I'll throw the entire radio show away today talking to you about my ratings. Now, I send a lot of emails to people telling them that I'm number one. I sent a bunch of emails to RadioDigest.com telling them I'm number one. They won't print those. So I sent them off to Don Barrett, and he will. Poor Don, he's all alone. He's the only guy running that website of his. He needs material, so he'll just print any drivel I send him. And so that's what I do. Now, I also have a lot of people saying that I'm not original. That I steal all of my material from Opie and Anthony, Steve Dahl, Neil Rogers, people like that. How dare you say that I stole Flash Friday from Opie and Anthony, who do Whip 'Em Out Wednesday? One of them's on Friday, the other's on Wednesday. How can it possibly be stolen? Opie and Anthony have Whip 'Em Out Wednesday, and I have Flash Friday. See? I wrote that. That's original to me. That's my material. Well, let's go to the phones, okay? Hi, how you doing? Wait a minute. Hi, how are you? Okay. Well, I'm not dialed in yet. We'll try it one more time. We're going to take a phone call here. How are you doing?
I called three times. I don't know why you kept hanging up.
Well, I didn't know how to use the phone.
Jesus.
Well, what do you want?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was calling to tell you the reason why people say you rip everybody. Oh, excuse me. I guess I have to say this. Hello, comb over boy.
Hello.
Jesus.
What can I do for you?
Nothing really. I just wanted to tell you that that whole take me out with a bong hit thing is particularly lame, considering the fact that Rick and Suds do that in Miami. And then that take me out with a, whatever it is, blow me up thing, that was originally done by Stephanie Miller. And then that whole thing that you do when, you know, it's do you care?
Yeah.
That was originally done by Bob and Tom, I think, in Indianapolis. So,
So you're saying there's nothing I do that's original?
Other than that, I am your host. You're right. You're the first guy to ever...
There! That's what I'm talking about!
Okay, all right. Then you've got me on that one, man. That's fantastic.
Is that great or what?
Yeah, it's great radio, man. I am your host. Even your voice happens to be ripped off from the real Don Steele, so I don't know what...
He's not here anymore, so technically I'm not ripping him off, am I?
No, you're right. He's dead, so I...
So there you go. Get out of here!
Look, don't do that blow-up thing with me. I'm still here.
Okay. And so that's what you've got with all these people saying that I'm stealing my material. Now, I was watching TV the other day, and I saw something on there that really made me angry. The guy made the claim on television there that football... is an American sport. And I fired off a bunch of emails to tell him, no, it isn't. It actually comes from rugby, which was originated in Europe. I fired off at least 50 emails to tell him that, and he wouldn't print any of them. That's what I'm talking about. Nobody ever acknowledges or prints my emails anymore. Now, the other thing that really bothers me is the fact that even though I tell you how hip I am and tell you how great I am, nobody in the business, the radio business, respects me. Nobody in the radio industry of this town especially acknowledges my genius. Every time somebody posts a poll or something or says who's the best radio talent in Los Angeles or whatever, Phil Henry always beats me. That really makes me mad. Why won't anybody acknowledge my genius? That's our next topic this hour. You know, I do topics because really I can't think of anything to do other than topics. But,
You ripped that off, too.
I guess I did. So why doesn't people acknowledge my genius? Go ahead.
Hello, comb over boy.
Hi, how are you?
Real good. Okay, look, here's why no one acknowledges your genius.
Yeah.
Because you haven't originated anything. Do you understand? Nothing you do is original. It's all stuff that's been done before.
But everybody says that it sounds really cool when I say, take me out with a bong hit.
Yeah, for the handful of lame asses that call your show, it's fantastic. Okay?
My screener and producer tell me I'm great.
Yeah, because you'd fire them if you didn't.
Well, that's true.
All right. So what I'm trying to tell you is, your show blows on a number of different levels, okay? First of all, you're not original. Second of all, you sound like dog crap. Third of all, Henry's going to beat you. Fourth of all, who couldn't beat you? And fifth of all, get out of my face, okay?
All right, thanks a lot for the call.
Hey, take me out with a bong hit.
Here we go!
No, thanks.
Well, there you go. There's a guy that I think he was... Didn't he like me? I think he liked me. Now, let's get down to the real reason what I'm talking about here today. And the real thing that I'm talking about here today is the fact that I hate Phil Henry because he was born with real talent and I wasn't. And that really bothers me. So I send out a lot of emails to people saying, hey, I've got talent too, and they don't bother to print those. I'll tell you one thing. If you listen to my show, you'll hear me stay on the same phone call for 25 minutes. Phil Henry can't do that. I take a phone call, I stay on the line with it for 25 minutes, beating it into the ground, having it repeat itself over and over and over again. Henry can't do that. But I'll tell you something right now. My bosses admire my talent. Now, the people that I work with, how do I know? That's what they tell me to my face. And all of the people that listen to me, they know they're listening to, well, their host. So you just remember one thing. Never forget this one phrase. Even if you hear a whole bunch of other stuff on my show, you can always be assured of one thing. And I wrote this, and I paid good money for this too. I didn't really write it. I paid a writer for it. But anyway, it's the phrase, I am your host. So you know that I'm not a right-wing wacko, and you know that I'm not a convicted felon. I am your host. And that's what my show is based on. That one phrase, I'm your host. That's cutting edge. Not like the Phil Henry show.